News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathik Ritsen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. A day after Union Minister Narayan Rane was arrested over his remarks against Maharashtra Chief Minister Uddhav Thackeray, the BJP on Wednesday said it has filed three separate police complaints in Maharashtra's Nashik against the CM, his wife and Samna editor Rashmi Thackeray, and Yuva Sena President Varun Sardesai, seeking FIRs against them on different grounds. The police confirmed that the BJP submitted the three complaint applications at the Nashik City Cyber Police Station during the day. Rane was arrested on Tuesday afternoon from Maharashtra's Ratnagiri district following his remarks made during his Jan Ashirwad Yatra in Raigarh on Monday that he would have slapped CM Thackeray for what he claimed as the latter's ignorance of the year of India's independence. His comments had set off protests by Shiv Senics in many cities of the state. The complaints in Nashik were lodged by three persons on behalf of the Nashik unit of the BJP. The first complaint was given by Rishikesh Jayant Ahir against Uddhav Thackeray and Varun Sardesai. It said that on Wednesday, Sardesai staged an illegal demonstration outside Rane's Mumbai residence, after which CM Thackeray felicitated him at his official residence, Varsha. This has given a wrong message and it causes law and order problems, the complaint said. The videos of all these incidents were broadcast on various channels and social media, it said, adding that Sardesai had also made a provocative statement outside Varsha, which was aired on Facebook. Therefore, a case should be filed against the two under IPC sections 153A, 107, 212 and the cybercrime laws, the complainant said. The second complaint was lodged by Sunil Raghunath Kedar against the CM, saying that he had allegedly passed derogatory remarks against Uttar Pradesh Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath. A video clip of his comment shows Thackeray had said that how can a Yogi become a CM and he should go and sit in a cave? He, that is Yogi, should be slapped with his chappal or footwear, the complainant said. The complainant added that Yogi Adityanath is not only the CM of UP and a BJP leader, but also the Mahant of Gorakhpur Math, and therefore the sentiments of many Hindus are attached to him. His insult may lead to some untoward incident, therefore a case should be filed against Thackeray under IPC sections 153A subsection 1, 153B, 189, 295A, 504, 505 by 2 and 506, it said. The third complaint was lodged by Shivaji Nivrutti Barke against Rashmi Thackeray and Shiv Sena leader in Nashik Municipal Corporation Ajay Boraste. It says that in the editorial published in Sena mouthpiece Samna on Wednesday, August 25, many abusive words were used against Rane, which was an insult of the constitutional post of union minister that he holds, he said. Besides that, Boraste made posters of this editorial and displayed them publicly. Considering all this, a case of defamation should be filed against Rashmi Thackeray and Boraste, and strict legal action should be taken against them, the complaint said. In a major announcement ahead of the Uttar Pradesh elections due next year, Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath said on Wednesday that his government will be making an effort to increase the procurement price of sugar cane, a major demand of the farmers in western Uttar Pradesh since the last 3 years. Our government has cleared record sugarcane dues dating back to 2010. 82% of dues of the present season have also been cleared, and all dues will be cleared before the next season. But we are also trying that there is some increase in the procurement price of sugarcane. Let us talk to all stakeholders first, the CM told a group of farmers at an interaction at his residence. Our farmers should not worry or not be misled by anyone. Prime Minister Narendra Modi is there and your government is there in UP. We will take a firm decision and work for you, Adityanath said. The CM also made several other announcements and big outreach to the farming community, such as withdrawing cases lodged against farmers for burning stubble, while a decision will also come soon on revoking fines for the same, besides a promise that no electricity connection of a farmer's home would be snapped due to pending payment of bills. The state advised price, or SAP, of sugarcane has not been increased in UP since the past 3 years and was last hiked by Rs. 10 per quintal in 2017, soon after the Yogi government had come to power. The SAP has since remained at Rs. 315 per quintal. Farmers in West UP have been demanding a hike in SAP, citing higher input costs and rise in prices of diesel and fertilizer. This is also a major poll issue in the state amidst the farmer protests on the Delhi-UP border over the three farm laws. Recently, Punjab increased the SAP of sugarcane after protests by farmers. The Taliban have been going door to door in parts of Afghanistan looking for women and girls above the age of 15 for marriage to their fighters, a journalist who escaped the seized country has revealed. In complete contrast to their claims of respecting women and their rights, the Taliban were taking girls without their consent and marrying them forcibly or raping them, Holly McKay wrote in the Dallas Morning News. McKay shared what she witnessed in the country before she managed to escape. In my own experience of being inside the northern city of Mazar-e-Sharif, as it fell last Saturday, I saw the bustling city brimming with women immediately become a ghost town. The few women who eventually stepped into the sunshine were sheathed in blue burqas, neither seen nor heard, said McKay. She said that though she was able to leave Mazar-e-Sharif, her Afghan friends who remained behind are gripped by the fear of the unknown that awaits them. I thought of how hard women had fought for their freedoms in this country, only to have them cleaved away with a click of the insurgency finger, said McKay. McKay also spoke about Afghan woman activist Fariha Isar, who she had met many years earlier. Fariha, who used to be the voice of embattled Afghan women across the country, has decided to stay. My friends on the outside are begging me to leave my country, Fariha said. But how can I, when my sisters are suffering? Fariha told McKay how the Taliban have been going house to house looking for women and girls over 15 for marriage. She narrated an incident she heard from her friend where the Taliban militants asked one father to give over his daughters as wives. They said one of the Taliban is a mullah and they must make an engagement for him, Fariha said. Only the request, as told to Fariha, was a rhetorical one. There was no choice. The unmarried 21-year-old was taken away in the dead of night. After the marriage, they took the young woman away, but the father found out after 3 days that it was not only the Taliban who married her and had sex with her. She was being raped by four others every night, Fariha recounted the story. The father went to the district governor and was told there was nothing he could do. Whatever could be done, he must do himself. In a slim silver lining to a drastically sad tragedy, the father fled with all his daughters into hiding, reported McKay. McKay also wrote about a 14-year-old girl whom she had met at a displacement hub on the periphery of Kabul earlier that week. The girl had run for her life from the fighting in Kunduz and just wanted an education and to one day become a doctor. The prospect of being forcibly married to the Taliban now afflicts millions of Afghan girls and women. The security blanket once provided to them by the NATO presence has been torn away, reported the Dallas Morning News. Nothing has changed. They, that is the Taliban, are trying to say that they have changed their behavior, but they have not, Fariha said, a quiver in her soft voice. They have not changed and they will not change. They are defined by violence, killing, by constant violating of human rights. An England great, James Anderson, ripped through the top order as India collapsed to 78 all out on the first day of the third test at Headingley on Wednesday. In reply, England were 120 for no loss with both openers, Rory Burns and Haseeb Hameed, scoring unbeaten half-centuries. Hameed was on 60 while Burns was on 52 at stumps. Everything went wrong for India right from the beginning, barring the toss. Once India opted to bat, James Anderson took over. By the end of 40.4 overs, only Rohit Sharma with 19 and Ajinkya Rahane with 18 made double-digit scores as India suffered a terrible collapse. Anderson took 3 for 6 in 8 overs, including the prize wicket of India captain Virat Kohli for the 7th time in his career. Both Sam Curran and Craig Overton took 2 wickets and 2 balls after lunch, with Overton finishing with 3 for 14 in 10.4 overs after being recalled in place of injured fast bowler Mark Wood. India, 56 for 4 at lunch, lost their last 6 wickets for 22 runs, with the innings completed inside 41 overs after just over 3 hours of play. This was India's lowest test total against England since being dismissed for 42 at Lord's in 1974. It followed their all-time lowest test innings total of 36 against Australia in Adelaide in December during a series. India eventually won 2-1. Rohit Sharma with 19 and vice-captain Ajinkya Rahane with 18 were the only India batsmen to make it in double figures on Wednesday, with 16 runs coming in extras. England were 21 for no loss in reply T with their new opening partnership of Rory Burns, 3 not out, and Haseeb Hameed, 15 not out, still unbeaten. An unchanged India came into this match 1-0 up in the 5-test series after a superb 151-run win at Lord's last week. England, by contrast, recalled Overton after Wood, joined fellow quicks Stuart Broad, Jofra Archer and Ollie Stone on the sidelines. Kohli won the toss, and despite the overcast conditions that promised to aid Anderson, already the most successful quick bowler in Test history, decided to bat. But India, having seen Rahul and Rohit share a century opening stand at Lord's, were one for one off just the fifth ball of the day. Following several in-swingers, Anderson pitched one up that moved less, and Rahul, fresh from his 129 at Lord's, fell for a duck when he edged a booming drive to wicketkeeper Jos Buttler. The often gritty Pujara lasted just 9 balls for one, undone by a superb Anderson delivery that both swung away and seamed off the pitch. Anderson and Kohli had exchanged angry words at Lord's after the England tail-ender had been subjected to a bouncer barrage from Jasprit Bumrah. But there was little time for any more sledging, as Kohli, without a test 102 years and averaging just 23 since January 2020, fell for 7 when he tried to drive an Anderson ball he might have defended to give Buttler another catch. Rahul, Pujara and Kohli managed just 8 runs between them. Ollie Robinson then struck with what became the last ball before lunch when Rahane, for 18, also nicked behind. The dangerous Rishabh Pant fell for just 2 when, playing a loose shot off Robinson, he too became one of Butler's 5 catches in the innings. Rohit, who made a fine 83 at Lord's, fell next when he mishooked a looping bouncer from Overton to Robinson at mid-on. Next ball, India was 67 for 7 when Mohammad Shami, who had defied England with a test best 56 at Lord's, was out for a duck when he edged Burns into the slips. Karan then took 2 in 2 balls as well, with Ravindra Jadeja and Bumrah LBW to the left arm swing bowler. The innings ended when Mohammad Siraj was caught head high in the slips by England captain Joe Root off Overton. When India got the ball in hand, the pitch seemed to do little. England's openers had no trouble whatsoever, as all bowlers looked harmless. The only chance India created was when Hamid was on 46, but Rohit Sharma dropped a catch at slip off Jasprit Bumrah to allow the batsman to make a half century. In short, nothing went right for India. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com. And do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.